Warning, because of the extreme content in this podcast, it is not appropriate for children. It contains depictions of violence, language, and disturbing subject matter. It is recommended strictly for adult audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
My name is Joey Siaglia, and I am so excited to welcome you back for Season 5. Have you ever had a conversation with a serial killer and lived to tell about it? My brother, Tony Siaglia, a traumatic brain injury survivor and the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, has spoken for hundreds of hours with some of the world's worst serial killers. These conversations will bring you as close to a serial killer as you'd ever want to be. This season, Tony, along with our father and co-host, Al Siaglia, will share their complete investigation of Joseph Roy Matheny, one of the most depraved criminals that has ever dealt with. Through rare phone conversations, letters, and visits, you will hear a story so evil that even Hollywood couldn't make it up. Matheny is a serial killer that enjoys torturing his victims before he kills them. Admittedly, he loves having sex with their corpses. Joe Matheny also bragged about having a barbecue stand and adding parts of his victims' flesh to the pork sandwiches. The question with us has always been, is this bullshit or is this true? Tony and Al decided to visit the monster in prison and ask him face to face this question. Are you truly a cannibal creator? This is his story, and this is Murder Phone.
Hey, you murder phoniacs. This is your host, Tony Siaglia, the serial killer whisperer. You know, it's so great to be back with you guys and with you guys. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Yes.
How was your off season?
Pretty good. It was pretty good.
Hit the gym, train?
Can't you tell?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking felt.
I love when people say that to you. It's like, oh, well, so you've been hitting the gym? It's like, yeah, fucking like 4 years ago. Anyways, everybody, it's great to be back to a new season of Murder Phone. And you're going to love this one. Love it. But before we get into the show, we have something very serious to talk about. We have a very, very good friend. She is a murder phoniac and one of the finest people we know. Unfortunately, she has been diagnosed with the capital C, cancer, and is about to undergo chemotherapy, which anybody who knows anything about cancer or knows anything about anybody who's ever had cancer, fought cancer, beat cancer, knows that chemotherapy is no fucking picnic. Prayers work. Miracles. And you all know my story and the miracle of continued life that I received. So please pray for our friend that she can beat this awful disease.
Thanks, Tom.
She is a great lady.
Yes, she is.
Awesome lady.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has.
A long while. So I might be stumbling over some words, right?
Stumbling, mumbling.
I might be stumbling over some words today to get back into the groove of things. But there's one thing I can do. And it's introduce this guy. Everybody knows this guy, the silver foxed fucking coxman, Al Ciaglia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, welcome to the show. Thank you.
He's known worldwide.
He is.
He is. We were in Louisiana a couple weeks ago, and even the people there knew the coxman.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just like people in the Philippines.
We went to a barbecue restaurant. We had the Murder Phone t-shirt on, and the girl listened. She was a fan of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a random place in Louisiana. And she said, the fucking coxman.
That was funny, wasn't it? She wanted you, that girl. I mean, she was only 18.
You never know.
18?
Yeah. I mean, 18, especially in Louisiana.
He's only 29. Hell, I mean, that's close. Yeah.
Right? I look good for 29.
Hell yeah, you do. Yeah.
And everybody, I'd also like to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that holds this fucking show together. My brother.
Who needs no introduction.
Yeah. Joe Ciaglia.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. Right?
Right.
I mean, we know.
I'm glad to be anywhere nowadays.
I'm going to use the Keith Richard line. That's my line. I'm glad to be anywhere.
Yep.
But anyway, we know how busy you are, right?
Yes.
So thank you. Believe me when I tell you, it was even hard for him to make it today.
He just took a phone call at this table 5 minutes before we started it.
Never stop. In fact, he said, I can't wait to come there because I can stop making phone calls for an hour.
I'm never too busy for you guys.
I'd like to hear that.
That's great.
I'd like to hear it. Let me reiterate. I don't care if you're religious or not. Say a prayer. Prayers work. We know when Tony was in his coma, we had a prayer chain, thousands of people praying for him, and it worked. Look at him. Here he is.
Hold on. This is totally not personal. Okay. This is personal. Okay.
That look, better now?
Yeah, it's better.
I like that. Huh?
Yeah, people like to see my eyes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You have beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the prayers. They work. So please, please, just say some prayers. She's a wonderful person. She's a friend of the show. She's a really good friend of our families. And I know prayer works. God is great. So just do it for us, guys, and do it for her. And it's really great to be back here in front of the mic.
Yeah.
You know, I like it.
I like it.
And I'm truly blessed to be here with my two sons. So I thank God every day for that. And here's something I guess we should really talk about. We should talk about Alaska. You know, it was really a bummer. And we got to explain to you guys what happened. And I think once we do, you'll understand. Anyway, Joe, you want to handle that?
Sure.
All right, good.
Yes, I mean, first of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody that contributed to the GoFundMe page. Everybody should have received a refund now. We set those up a couple of weeks ago, and after approvals and everything, they should be out. So if you didn't get it, let us know. We'll make sure it's handled.
The Ponzi scam is what it is.
we did. We had some very generous donations, and we really, really appreciate the support. Nothing really bad happened. The production company that Tony is currently working with asked if we could hold off on that for the time being, or hold off on the trip, because they want to make it a big part of the first season, hopefully that transpires with whatever the TV show is going to look like. And they told us that everything goes smoothly, that we could plan on going as early as next spring or early summer. So hopefully we'll be planning for that. But I think it's going to be best to do it this way because these guys are professionals. They have all the equipment. They have the cameras.
And they got a lot more money than us.
Yeah. They used to shoot for National Geographic, so they're used to that rugged terrain. And the three of us on a boat probably wouldn't have worked as well as what they can do. But Anyway, they're very familiar with Alaska, and they're pretty excited about it.
So Alaska is a very dangerous place.
Absolutely, it would
yeah.
be.
Oh yeah, it would. But we are not country folk.
Look at Dad. Dad's an outdoorsman. Look at him.
Yeah, right. Are you kidding? Look at Dad.
No, but seriously, I mean, I got to be honest. I think this is a much better thing because we were having a hard time putting it all together to make the trip productive as what it should be and do it the right way. It's kind of a bummer that we didn't make it there, but I think we're doing the right thing. After all this time, we've waited. We want to do it the right way. It deserves to be done the right way, yes. And we don't want to rush it. So when we told Manfred that we were not coming, this was his response. I'm going to go ahead and read this letter that's dated June 10th, 2023. So the people you're working with used to be with National Geographic. That's really cool. I have a guy that worked at National Geographic, put one of my murals in the New York Times. I'll be interested to see if your guy knows him. I agree with you, and I also believe it should be done right. The production company with our guidance is the way to go, so I'm all for it. This way, when the cabin is found, we are all winner, winner, chicken dinner. Ha ha.
You must have been a gambler, huh?
Keep me posted, my friend, and I will help in any way that I can. I just completed a course, and now I am certified in Adult Mental Health First Aid USA. That's fantastic.
That is.
That really is.
I'm really proud of it, and I will keep trying to help others as much as I can. What a great guy, you know?
He really is.
He really has turned his life around well.
Uh-huh.
He's great. We've said it a million times, but he really is great.
So with this season, we're going to shift gears from a really good guy to a real big piece of shit.
Fucking.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking worst.
Literally a big piece of shit.
The worst. Anyway, Dad.
Hey. Hey, guys. How about them catching the alleged Gilbo Beach serial killer, Rex Herman
or Howerman? I'm not sure how to say it.
Do you know how to say his name, Tony?
Yeah, asshole. No, seriously. Anybody that's ever fucking seen this guy, it's Rex Asshole. I have a great nickname, all right?
Oh, boy.
For this fucking guy.
Already?
Yes. How about the Gilgo Dildo?
I like that. It's got a ring to it.
It does. Really does.
It's definitely got a ring.
You know somebody's going to steal that.
You think so?
Yeah, you'll probably hear it on the news or something.
Zach.
The Gilgo Dildo.
Yeah, but deep down inside.
You know it
They
came
know
from.
They stole it from us.
Yep.
Yes. Now, seriously, though, have you guys ever heard this guy talk? I mean, what the fuck? All right. All right. I don't normally do this because they aren't part of the show. But I think it's justified given all the press this guy has gotten. All right, we're going to play two sound bites here, and I want everybody that's listening to hear the similarity.
Well, I'm Tom Gacy. I'm from Waterloo, Iowa.
And you're a man of some authority here. What is your title?
Well, I'm first cook in the kitchen, and I run the morning meal and the afternoon meal in the kitchen.
John, how long have you been here?
I've been here now a year and about 2 weeks.
Why am I asking, how long do you plan to take up residence here?
Well, I hope to be getting out sometime in May.
Well, good. Good. You're going to continue as a cook? Use that as a profession? You
right. This is my profession before I came in.
All right.
Food service.
Tell us, you know, who you are, you know, where you're from, and how long you've been in New York.
Okay. Rex Heuermann, I'm an architect, I'm an architectural consultant, I'm a troubleshooter, born and raised on Long Island.
Okay.
Been all working right. in Manhattan since 1987. Patience.
That's funny, I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah. patience, and I don't like to use the word tolerance, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
And it's not just with the city, it's also with the client.
The killer clown and the Gilgo dildo. What a two-team parley. You listen to the two of these guys, and you can cut the narcissism in half with a knife, because it's that strong, and it's just that phony, and they're just that disgusting.
They, sir, I mean, they are.
They really are.
Yeah.
And then we're not over-exaggerating.
Everybody out there is going to agree with you.
Yeah. How about the guys interviewing these assholes?
Oh.
They were perfect, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were perfect. One asshole to another. For instance, the guy interviewing John Wayne Gacy. Oh,
one of my favorites.
You talk about a narcissist.
So, you're a man of some authority here. What's your title?
I'm the first cook, and I run the kitchen.
So when are you getting out?
Well, I hope May.
Good. So, you can get back to doing what you love. Fucking and killing little boys. Some of that was added. Some of that was added.
Gee, was it? The listeners are going, I didn't hear him say that.
And now Rex Huerman, the alleged Gilgo Beach killer. This interview was done about a year before he was arrested. What's so awesome, you guys, is this asshole, you know, he's in that interview and he's like, yeah, look at me. They're never going to catch me. Fuck the law. Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you imagine the interviewer? Uh-huh. Oh, I got this big shot, big player in Manhattan.
Yeah.
He's going to do this interview for me. Okay. How'd that work out for you?
So this interview was done, right, about a year early before he got caught. The interviewer was so annoying and never stopped laughing. You know, it's like he wanted to jack him off or something. Rex, please, Rex, tell us about yourself. Well, I'm Rex Huerman, an architect and architectural consultant. I'm a troubleshooter, born and raised on Long Island. Been working in Manhattan since 1987. He's so in love with himself, it's sickening. It's just sickening. Oh, gosh. The interviewer then says, so, Rex, what was the toughest thing you needed in your job? Well, patience and tolerance with the clients who are stupid and obviously intellectually beneath me.
You know who you sound like?
Who?
I know.
Summerstock.
I do.
Oh,
I do.
From Stern.
From Howard Stern. Remember?
Private Parts.
So tell me, did you ever see the 12-inch kill boss at Summerstock?
I can't believe he's doing this. That was a great movie.
You know who I was going to say?
Who?
Luca Magnota.
Oh, that guy, the cat.
That asshole.
Don't touch the cats.
Was no, that, don't fuck with cats.
That was disturbing.
That was. He was disturbing.
He was.
We made Cool watch that movie.
Cool is our cat.
Okay. We have to have a short discussion about the Gilgo Dildo.
Yes, right? It's the word.
Because this guy is just, he needs to be talked about.
I mean, why don't you guys tell me what you really think about him? I mean, I'm... Don't hold back anything.
You're going to get to it right at the end.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. All right. Yeah. First, I'll start. The neighbors hated this guy. I mean, hated him.
But so did John Wayne Gacy's neighbors. They hated him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, my neighbor hates me. I don't fucking kill people.
Yeah, but no. He's in charge of the HOA. It must be the speakers.
Probably.
Fuck them. But anyway, yeah, the neighbors, they hated him. In the house, he's this big-time architect, troubleshooter, architectural consultant. The house, it looks like a haunted house.
It does.
It's
it
creepy
does.
As shit. Yeah, just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let me just tell this story because I don't know if you guys are familiar with this part.
I'm not.
A guy moved in and... His house backed up to the dildos, and his wife used to sunbathe out in the back, you know, with a bathing suit and stuff, not naked, but she'd sunbathe out there. Well, this big, stupid fucking doughboy would just stand there and leer over the fence, just looking at her. And it got to the point where this guy had to go talk to him.
Yeah.
He had to tell him, you got to stop doing this. You're making my wife very uncomfortable. And what did he do? He's right there. So then physical violence was threatened.
He's like Lurch.
Yeah. And then he finally stopped. The guy said he finally stopped and they kind of became friends. But he was very standoffish.
Yeah.
He just didn't like people. He didn't like to talk to people. And he'd burn his garbage at night. You do that, don't you?
All the time.
And you do it. I always see you out in the yard.
All the time. Yeah. Right in the cul-de-sac, just in the middle of the street.
There's nothing to see there.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Yeah, burn that garbage at night. Well, why not?
Yeah.
Then I heard the people actually crossed the street to avoid walking in front of his house.
It's like Michael Myers' house, you know, in Haddonfield.
Yeah, right.
This beautiful neighborhood with this creepy ass house on one street.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad you brought it. It looked like it.
Yeah.
Did you see this guy's house? It really looked like it. And guess what, guys? He's got a place here in Vegas. Isn't that a surprise? I mean, we have our share of sex workers. It was like fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Bobbing for apples for this guy.
And there was a time. You know, on.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. I dabbled in getting to know a lot of the sex workers in the city.
Dabbled?
I dabbled. You were right there with me, so don't judge me.
Somebody had a chaperone. I mean,
oh yeah.
Jesus.
Somebody had a chaperone.
See these gray hairs, guys?
Yeah.
All right. No one liked him, not even his kids or his wife. I mean, this all came out. Now, how could you like this guy?
Impossible.
Yeah. You know, he's a 6 foot, 5 inch, 250 pound pussy doughboy. Did I cover it all? I missed fat.
I think that sums
fat.
It up.
That's doughboy.
Fat.
Doughboy.
Doughboy. Pussy.
He had to be bigger than 250, though, don't you think?
Well, he says he's 250. Yeah, he's probably 300. Tough guy. You know who he picked on?
You ever seen him, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who he picked on? The girls were like 5'1", 105 pounds.
No, and you're not being...
And here he comes. I'm not exaggerating.
You're not exaggerating. No. They were 5'1", like 5'3". Right.
Brutal.
I know.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Well... I think this is a good segue from one big piece of shit to the next.
You think so?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to throw this in, though, because a childhood idol of Joey's, mine, passed away while we were taking our break. Pee Wee Herman. My brother... used to be able to do an incredible. He's really good at impersonations, but a Pee Wee Herman.
Yes, you are.
The fuck is he talking about?
Impersonation he used to do.
Pee Wee Herman, he died.
But I'm not asking him.
Yeah, not the Pee-wee. Break here when we took our break, you know.
No, yeah, summer. I know.
Yeah, well, Pee Wee, you know, he passed away.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I want to tell you guys something. You guys knowing me and the way I think, I mean, I respected him. And everything, Pee Wee's Big Adventure and all that, that was great. But I really amped up the respect when he got caught jacking off in an adult, like, theater. Like, you go to, like, an adult theater. And I don't see what's wrong with that.
What else are you doing when you go there?
You're not, right?
Why was it such a big deal? Uh-huh. You're not there to watch a movie for a plot. What do they care?
Yeah. Why do they care? Yeah.
I mean, it's because he made children movies, like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Maybe that was a big deal, but
Hollywood, the fact, though, guys,
right? And the fact, though, that he's famous, I guess.
If you go to an adult theater,
yeah,
and you make a list of the top three things that you could potentially see, that's right at the top.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's not like he went into an AMC theater watching the Titanic.
Yeah.
He was at a place that you like to hang out in, Tone. I mean, exactly. I don't see anything wrong with it.
Like one of my best friends.
There goes your career.
Like one of my best friends. He runs 48 adult, what would you call them? Shops?
Yeah.
Yeah, adult shops.
Classy ones.
Yeah, classy. Yeah. All over the country. And I don't know. I'm glad you guys jumped on the boat with me and didn't argue with me about Pee-wee. He was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruined him.
And it did. It ruined his career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. God bless you, Pee-wee.
Can you do a Pee-wee for us?
I can't. So. Not on the spot like that. I need to warm up. No, I haven't. The vocal cords. I got to get them. Okay. I got to get them worked up. Right. You know, it's been a tough day.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah. By the sound of that phone call you took right before.
I know.
It didn't sound good.
Are you going to do this? Or?
I'm doing it. This is kind of a coincidence.
Are you waiting for an invitation?
This is kind of a coincidence, everybody. Rex Huerman, a.k.a. the Gilgo Dildo, is a 6'5", 250-fucking-pound doughboy total pussy.
Sack of shit.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you for throwing that in there. And that reminds me of our subject for season 5. He's a 6'1", 525-pound fat fucking doughboy. Joe Roy Matheny, a.k.a. Tiny.
Tiny.
Every one of his artworks he signs. Joe Matheny, Tiny.
A.k.a. Tiny.
He's probably one of the most disgusting people I've ever seen.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, well, Murder Phoniacs, we had Manfred West last season. Here was a guy that totally changed himself while he was in prison and now is a mentor and is trying to help prisoners make positive changes in their lifestyles. He turned into a good guy. Not a fucking phony good guy, but a legit good guy that he put lots of work and lots of hours into to becoming that good guy. Now, season 5 is a whole different ball game. All I have to do is give you the title, and you'll know what I mean. Season 5 is titled, drum roll please, Joseph Roy Matheny, the cannibal creator. Now, we had some fans last season who wanted some hardcore shit, who wanted a piece of shit. Well, now you're getting that piece of shit.
Boy, are you.
Yes.
So get ready.
Al, take it from here, buddy.
And did you notice the name, guys?
Cannibal creator?
Yeah, not cannibal killer, creator. And it'll all make sense.
Yep.
Won't it?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. Here's a few things that we will be talking about this season for all the people out there that wanted some really dark shit.
This is like a highlight reel for this guy, what you're about to read.
It is, isn't it?
It is, Joe.
Imagine if this somebody said, I'm going to talk about Joey Siaglia's life for a minute.
And you read this.
Let's go with the highlighted items.
I loved it. That's funny.
All right. Starting out with... Matheny's first kill was a little 12-year-old girl, and he was only 15 when he did it. And he describes it, which we will share with you guys. Nobody know he wasn't convicted of this, but that was his first kill. And he also discusses why he believes he became a serial killer. And during that time of the show, you'll realize what a fucking asshole this guy really is, con artist. He's like out there with some of his thoughts.
But no remorse. He is.
Oh, none.
No.
You tried to get it out of him for many years, and he is just as dark. He's a fucking scary guy.
Yeah, he is.
Can I interrupt you really
quick? Go ahead.
Like, there's lots of serial killers, like, let's say, Ted Bundy. You know, serial killers that look like us three guys, mm-hmm. and they act like us three guys, but eventually you're going to get holes in their personality if you hang out with them long enough, because the psychopath can only lie for so long, but not this guy. Like my brother said, he's scary.
Yeah.
He is scary. Yeah.
We have visited a lot of killers. This is the only time I was worried. And we will go into that. I'm not going to ruin it for you guys, but it was the only time I was worried.
Mm-hmm.
I visited a serial killer today.
Did you?
I did. My banker.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Bonafide serial killer. Yeah. Not even just a sociopath. He's
no.
a serial killer.
Serial killer.
Yeah. I understand. All right. His M.O., okay? Let's talk about his M.O. And Joey's right. This is like a highlight reel. He's really fucked up, man. He enjoys screwing dead bodies the most. He would actually visit funeral homes and tip the night watchman so he could screw the corpses.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I just want to envision a role play real quick.
A role play, exactly.
So let's say Tony's the
watchman.
The watchman, which I could see with the hair.
Yeah.
Creeping out late at night in some morgue. And here comes this fucking vile, disgusting human being. What do you think he tipped him?
He told me give him 100 is what he told me.
No.
Yeah, he told
me. No way.
Didn't he say give
that's
him?
That's what he said.
20 yeah, tops.
Yeah. Could you I see thought it was more like Caddyshack in here.
Could you see him palming the money to this fucking Undertaker guy in there?
Yeah. How do you word that, Joe? How do you ask an Undertaker?
That's a great point.
Right.
How do you know what the guy's going to say? Did he meet him outside of there? And he's like, oh, hey, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, I work at a morgue. Come on by sometime. Yeah. We'll have an aged whiskey and you could fuck some dead girls.
That was great. An aged whiskey.
Right?
I love it.
Well, it could be cheese and crackers and wine if you want, but I mean, aged.
Hey, Getz, that was for you.
Aged whiskey.
Aged whiskey.
You know what's even worse? Think about this. Think about it. He tips the guy. The guy goes, yeah, we got a
hot young girl that just came in.
Oh, come on.
It's nice and warm.
Nice and warm still.
So now he pulls the girl out.
I might take that
he
fucking
pulls
tip.
The girl out, right? I'm going to go on lunch break, you know, help yourself. But he doesn't go on lunch break. Here's the watchman.
Oh, no, he's jacking off to it.
And he's peeking
he's
around.
He's jacking off to it.
Will you shut the fuck? Always got to go to that. But just picture this, this scene. You couldn't make this up. It's
no,
this.
Jacking off to it.
It's disgusting.
You couldn't make this scene.
I've seen every horror movie known to man, as you guys have too.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a movie with anything as fucked up as that?
No.
No.
Never.
No, nobody could make this up.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
A great break in the action.
Where was I?
Fucking great.
Wait a minute. Where was I? I was doing it.
You're on highlight. You're a bullet point number two of this classy man.
Okay. Bullet point two.
How do you like that, Scott?
All right, he killed mostly hookers, but he enjoyed torturing them before he killed them. When he was a trucker, he would pick up hookers at the truck stops. Are you ready for this? First, he would torture them. Then he would kill them. Then he would spend the night with them in the truck, fucking their corpses and cuddling with them. The next day, he would find an isolated spot and bury them out on the road.
What a sweetheart.
He ran.
It's almost tough to imagine.
I mean, it's really.
All right, back to the fucking
morgue.
We
have to laugh.
Hold on, back to the morgue. Just think. What if that was your wife? This guy was fucking in the morgue. Oh. Like, she died in a car accident or she died somehow. And then you find out. After the fact that this fucking guy was fucking your wife, I couldn't even believe.
I actually thought about that too.
My hair.
Maybe I'm just as sick as you. I don't know. I'm sure everybody else was thinking the same thing too.
Hey, right. Quit making fun of my fucking hair. I think it looks pretty good.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
It's cool.
Okay. He ran a barbecue stand. So on Fridays, he would go find a hooker. And torture her, kill her, and then use part of her body to add to his pork sandwiches on Sunday.
Were they always hookers, those girls?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, the ones he served up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the question has always been, was this total bullshit or was it true? So this season, guys, we will share everything that we discovered about Tiny's barbecue stand.
I gotta be honest, if somebody loves barbecue,
yeah, they're probably throwing up right now.
No, I mean, I love barbecue, but after hearing this years ago, I never looked at it the same.
Barbecue?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why like I never ordered a pork sandwich.
Pulled pork sandwich is like a pulled hooker sandwich. Joe Matheny.
Exactly.
At Tiny's barbecue stand.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I wonder if he had that as a special.
Every time you go to Dickie's Barbecue, right, you're looking in the kitchen like, what the fuck?
Could you see it? Big Tiny special. What is that?
Oh,
well, that's a pulled barbecue sandwich, barbecue pork.
They were eating that's my sandwiches on the regular.
That's how he sounds. Yeah. That's how he sounds.
Yeah. Ugh.
All right.
We'll tell you guys in detail about the visits that we had with this 500-pound piece of shit monster. You're going to hear some very rare conversations with this guy.
Why are they rare?
They're rare because he never talked on the phone, and I think I get into that.
I think you're the only guy I ever called.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really the only guy. That. No, his brother.
No, yeah, no, I'm talking about later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, he also told me he didn't like to get on the phone because all the other inmates
would
use
in
the
stuff.
Food, the phone, and breathe in it, and it's up against their head. Like he's some fucking.
Oh, so he's a germaphobe now, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm sure they enjoyed that 525 pound fat head with the
dripping
sweat coming onto the receiver.
Come on.
Okay. So they are rare because he hated talking, you know, on the phone. He did write some really descriptive letters to me, which, of course, we'll be sharing. Be a sin if I didn't.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, there is his artwork. Now, he was a really good artist. Very, like, detailed. And you'll see a lot of that.
He did those weird-looking characters.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never really seen anything like it. It's bizarre.
It is. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it either.
One of those little characters is him, you know, the little bald-headed.
That's supposed to be him.
Demon-looking fucker. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, that's him.
Committing crimes.
That's little Joe.
I have those up in my room on the wall. My kids ask me, Dad, Daddy, what is that?
You just moved into the new office. Are you going to deck out?
Oh, they're already up.
They're already up.
They're already up.
In fact, I framed some of Haddon's letters, and I put it next to the pictures of my kids on the wall. It looks great.
Oh, yeah.
Haddon Clark. So, as you will see, though, about his artwork in Manfred West's artwork, totally different. West would draw some incredibly funny cartoons, but Matheny's were sick and twisted, just like his brain. Everything about him was sick and twisted. Here's just one of his quotes, which will give you a good idea what he was like. That kind of sounded like Matthew McConaughey there.
When you say this, you got to sound like Joe, though.
No, I will.
Yeah. Do it.
It ain't nothing special what I did. That's for damn sure. Well, I'm not proud of it, but I sure don't lose any sleep over it. All them son of a bitches I killed had one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. The way I look at it is, I did them a favor.
Pretty good.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix between Elvis and Matheny.
don't ever use the king's name in the same sentence with that guy.
Joey. We're going to toss the mic back to you. Can you read the first letter that I received from this fucking piece of shit way back in 2007?
I could do that. I can't believe it was January 4th, 2007.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? Really hard to believe.
Where the time goes.
I know.
Shit. All right, you ready?
Were you married then?
No.
You weren't even married?
No.
God, you got two kids?
I know.
It's been crazy.
Hello, Anthony Siaglia. I got your most welcome letter. Thank you for writing to me. You asked if I would be interested in a new pen pal. You're damn right I would. You sound like a pretty cool and interesting man to write to.
Fucking right I am.
You sound like you've gotten around Chicago, Texas, and Nevada. I never got to Las Vegas. Good fucking thing he didn't.
Yeah, right.
I never got to Las Vegas, but I drove down close to it, though. I used to be a truck driver, and I ran loads across the country.
He ran loads, and I dropped loads. What the hell?
Don't let him read.
That's
I had to take that.
That was a good insertion.
Yes.
It was.
Once I ran a load of paint to Reading, California, doubled back, and layered over in Reno, Nevada for 3 days. Picked up a load of Ranch House salad dressing over at Sharp's. I'll never eat that shit again.
That's right.
And then I shot down to Houston, Texas. Then I got a split load bound for New York and Jersey. Then came back home here to Maryland. I just wanted to give you an idea of what being an overland truck driver is all about. A lot of time on the road gets pretty boring after a while. Anyway, you told me some of your story, so here's some of mine. I guess you got my name and address off the website serialkillercentral.com. Or one of those other websites. The state of Maryland has labeled me a serial killer. I've been down since 1996. I spent 3.5 years on Maryland's death row before they overturned my sentence and gave me life without parole. I'm serving 3 life sentences without parole plus 60 years. Can you imagine?
What, that's your life? Yeah. That's what you got to look forward to?
We paid to keep this guy alive, too.
Like, yeah,
just get rid of him.
That's in your horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got the death penalty, but now it will just take a little longer. Ha ha. I stand at 6'2" tall and weigh close to 500 pounds. Yeah, I'm a big one. Ha ha. I'm 51 years old and I was born March 2nd, 1955. I almost share the same birthday with this fucking guy.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
He was born the day after me.
How funny.
25 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who else you share a birthday with? Bieber.
Yeah, Biebs.
Justin Biebs.
The Biebs.
Yeah.
I served in the U.S. Army from 1974 to 1976, and I came back with head problems and a real bad drug habit. Shit happens. So anyway, you let me know what you want these letters to be about. I'm very open-minded, and I have a sense of humor, too, which some may say is a bit morbid. I like to just call it misunderstood.
So morgue.
As you can see, I like to draw, and I like to write to people that are worth writing to. I believe this is you, Anthony. Thanks for sending me the stamped envelope, but they wouldn't let me have it. And thank you again for writing, and I look forward to hearing from you again real soon. Later, Joe.
First off, I love it because that letter is like, you know, I'm Joe Matheny and I'm interviewing you. This guy, Tony Siaglia, to see if he's good enough.
Yeah, right.
To write me.
I think that just might be you, Anthony.
Shit. So, you know, Joe, in that letter you just read, there was a lot more to that story about his trip out west. But we'll delve
you know
into that in a later episode. So let's play a short clip from one of his calls so everyone can hear Joseph Roy Matheny, a.k.a. Tiny, the monster's voice, before we wrap.
For real, you're close to saying, but I got to anybody out there.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're a pretty special dude, man.
You don't mind if you don't mind if I continue to write you?
I'd be pissed off if you didn't.
Okay, man.
I just wrote you a letter out the other day. I tell you what, I just wrote you a letter. So I'm going to let you go because I'm not running up your phone bill.
Hold on, no, don't worry about it.
I don't want to be running up your phone bill, bud. But, this is what it is. I get so excited to get to talk to somebody, I forget myself, you know?
I bet you're excited because, fuck, you've been talking to the same people for, 10 years, you said? You've never made a phone call?
The last time I talked to anybody was up to my brother up in, I used to call him every Saturday when I was on death row up there in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away when I was up there, so.
Oh.
I swear, man, my phone calls days was over.
So I'm the closest thing he has, right, in that phone call? I'm a special dude. Bullshit. 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 You know, when you meet this guy, and I met him, I remember him like sweating on me when he gave me a hug.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Another movie reference there. Remember Forgetting Sarah Marshall? She goes, I'm Aldous Snow. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Yes! Yes!
Yes.
That's a great movie.
Oh, it's a great one.
Uh-huh. That guy's a great writer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, though, when you do meet this guy, meet him, you'll know immediately that he could never... And we've said this so many times before about psychopaths, sociopaths, which are basically the same thing. You can't be friends with them because something is wrong with them. And that will become very clear as we go through our season. Season 5.
Yeah.
We're here. We're here, guys. Yes. Season fucking 5.
I know.
Man, yeah, we've done a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that letter and phone call was the beginning of my relationship with a monster. And he's a monster who's very, what is it called? Like, not when you, he lets it out. You see it.
Oh, it's, he wears it on his sleeve.
He wears it on his sleeve.
Yeah.
There's nothing he's afraid of.
It's not just the size. It's the way he is.
So, Joe Roy Matheny, he's not been covered a lot. But we're going to change that as we take a deep dive into one of the worst monsters I've ever dealt with.
Wasn't that phone call he made to you like the first one he had made in 10 years to anybody?
To 10 years, yes.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
And he was concerned. Yeah.
Good memory.
He was concerned about running up your phone bill.
Remember? Fuck him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he really cared
No. What? All he cared about was, oh, hang up, send me the fucking money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, send me the money. Actually, it's my brother's money that I'm sending to Joe. No. But, you know, that's all it is. That's all he cared about was money.
Hey.
Me and Joey went to a wedding in Louisiana, and we were in a McDonald's, and we got in some trouble in the gas station. And I just looked at this guy, and he looked at me. And I went, you know what that is? That's a whole lot of fucking crazy. That's not Taekwondo. That's not jiu-jitsu. That's fucking crazy right there. And he left us.
That's Taekwondo crazy.
Taekwondo crazy. Oh, Joe, listen, buddy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we know you're busy, and you always add a whole lot to the show.
We had to have him here on the first show for season 5.
I was sitting in my pool, actually.
Now that's a wrap. Take care, stay safe, and remember, always walk in the calm after the storm.
Great to be back.
Or after you hear, hey! Try and find that calm again.
This is Joey Siaglia, and thank you for listening to Murder Phone. Hosted by my brother Tony Siaglia, the subject of the best-selling book, The Serial Killer Whisperer, and his co-host, who also happens to be our father, Al Siaglia. For more information on the show, please visit murderphone.com, where you can ask questions, link to our social media accounts, and much, much more. If you'd like to help support the Murder Phone podcast, please go to our Buy Me a Coffee page and sign up for a membership package. You can access all kinds of cool, exclusive content that only official Murder Phoniacs can get. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, and an iTunes review would be much appreciated.
Well, leave one if you liked it, but if you didn't, fuck it.
Murder Phone was written and produced by Tony Siaglia and Al Siaglia and recorded at the Level 9 Studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. A special thanks to our friend Justin Borrego for his editing magic. Join us next week for another exciting episode of Murder Phone.
Yeah, before we go, I want to give a huge shout out to all those living this life after brain injury, our new normal, as so many call it. You are awesome. Keep going. I know I will. And to my listeners that know someone living with a brain injury or other mental health issues, please be kind, be patient, and most of all, be understanding. Remember, they are doing the best they can.